On this fourth Sunday in Lent, let us begin with prayer. In the midst of all the chaos swirling around us, as we gather in virtual worship for the first time in our history as a church family, as we feel anxiety for our loved ones and ourselves, for our community, our nation, and the whole world, send your Holy Spirit to steady us, open our hearts to hear and receive your word of comfort, your word of peace, and your word of hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the story of the blind man from John's Gospel, appointed for the fourth Sunday in Lent, seems so ironically appropriate for us in this time of the COVID-19 virus. Although we've been watching the news reports about the spread of the virus for some weeks now, I'm not sure any of us were really prepared for its impact on our own doorstep, now that it swept its way to our shores here in the U.S. and to our doorstep here in Poughkeepsie. In some ways, we may even feel blindsided by how fast our world has turned upside down. Just last Thursday, things seemed relatively normal. It's a new day. Our identities as human beings and as Americans have taken a beating in the last 10 days or so. We're not as invincible as we may have thought, not as self-sufficient, not as prepared. In some ways, it feels like we have lost our sight, as though we are moving around in the dark, groping for the light switch, only to discover that the electricity's been turned off, with no date or time given for when it will be turned on again. When our wise and compassionate and wonderfully efficient Congregational President Nancy convened our dedicated church council this past Tuesday for a special meeting, we met via conference call for the first time, I was struck by the almost palpable sense of relief and joy that we could hear each other's voices, that we could be together again, even if it was only our voices, that we could laugh, that we could hear Shirley Mowell tell a joke, that we could ask about each other. It was a comfort. It was a joy. Missing just one Sunday together in our beautiful sanctuary left devastating effects on us, I think, as though we'd moved from the dazzling light into a blinding darkness without benefit of any handrails, as though we had somehow lost our identity as a church family by suddenly being scattered like sheep in a storm. Until that is, we all received Lisa's stirring worship packet by mail, email, however it came to us last Sunday, with her powerful and poignant sermon that bound us together in the love and hope we share in Christ Jesus. I'm sure your reaction was very much like mine as I sat reading it so gratefully last Sunday morning, miles away from Poughkeepsie, soaking in the spiritual nourishment I needed in order to face what really is the unimaginable. Lisa reminded us of our ultimate identity as beloved children of God, which nothing can ever take away from us. She wove into the whole history of the ancient liturgical traditions of the Church Universal the central message of our faith, that we are loved unconditionally, held in trust by our Creator God, and that nothing, not even being blindsided by the coronavirus, can ever take God's love and constant presence away from us. And so we're gathered here this morning via social media, where I'm technically preaching to a tiny camera built into my phone here in the social distancing cocoon of my own home. That may be what is happening objectively, but spiritually, no. Spiritually, I'm reaching out across time and space to be with you, the precious body of Christ at First Lutheran, our beloved church family. It is your dear faces, your loving hearts, your generous spirits that I see in the eyes of my heart this moment, and with whom I am sharing this worship together in these unprecedented times. The outward trappings may have changed, but nothing has altered our core identity as children of God in mission through First Lutheran in Poughkeepsie. Central in our gospel lesson for today, the story of Jesus' healing of the blind man. In that, his identity was all bound up in his blindness. Everyone, his parents, his neighbors, his community, everyone knew him as the man blind from birth. Some assumed, including the disciples, that his blindness had something to do with his own sins or possibly the sins of his parents even. So maybe from the outside world, he was thought of as not only a blind man, but also a man who was somehow tainted by sin. Imagine how it must have been for him to grow up in that kind of environment. When Jesus heals the man and restores his sight, those closest to him don't really even recognize him anymore. He was completely defined by his disability, his blindness. That's all he was to others, the whole of his identity in their view. Others are confused when Jesus changes that perceived identity, so confused that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, call him in for questioning. And rather than rejoicing at the transformation of the formerly blind man's life in his encounter with Jesus, the Pharisees remain stubbornly blind, stuck in their own prejudices. How often have we, too, been tempted to define those around us in terms of their shortcomings and what we have perceived to be their deficits? Suddenly, in light of COVID-19, we've had a wake-up call. Those irritating deficits in others don't seem so significant anymore, do they? We've had time to reflect on the fragility of life and the vulnerability of those around us. Our eyes have been opened to what we have taken for granted in our day-to-day relationships with each other. And every moment of every day seems that much more precious. How often have we gone through life self-identifying with things others have said about us, rather than who we know ourselves to be deep inside, that person that God created us to be? Perhaps we've been blind to our own God-given potential, limiting our horizons because of past setbacks or disappointments or failures. And today, as we are feeling blindsided and in the dark about the future, questioning whether there will ever be normality again in our lives, Jesus comes to us as surely as Jesus came to that blind man in his need. Every time there is an encounter with Jesus in Scripture, a transformation happens. Jesus disrupts the status quo. That's what he does. Jesus saw this blind man, and he immediately does something about it. The restoration of sight is right then. But remember, the inner transformation is more gradual. But notice this. Jesus accompanies the blind man on his gradual transformation, on his continuing journey of faith. And at the end of this story, when Jesus hears that the religious leaders have thrown the formerly blind man out of the synagogue for bearing witness to what Jesus had done for him, Jesus went looking for that man. It's not a question of whether we, sighted or blind, find Jesus, but of Jesus coming to look for us and finding us no matter where we are. You and I are experiencing, perhaps for the first time in our lives, enforced social isolation. But actually, as members of God's family, we aren't actually experiencing social isolation, but rather physical isolation. Because nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. As Reverend Kristen Kaulbach Miles, a priest at Trinity Wall Street, put it last Sunday in her homily, every hand we don't shake must become a phone call we make. Every inch and every foot of distance we put between ourselves and another must become a thought about how we could help that other should the need arise. As my UCC conference minister reflected in an e-blast this past week, I am mindful of the spiritual challenges in a time such as this. I've been thinking that it feels like we're stuck in Good Friday. When will the sun rise? When will there be resurrection? Well, it already has, and there already is. The Lenten rituals are tools to remember that in life and death, the final word is God. We have no need to wait for God, to wait for resurrection, to wait for life. All these are already ours. God's abiding love and presence is as close as breathing. So as you tense up, as you sense panic, as you recognize your fear, stop. Take a breath. Release it. Now take another deep breath. Release. Repeat. Carol, our dear Carol, had to do something today, this past week. So she had a yard sale printed up for the front of our church, and it's sitting there in the dirt. And it says for all to see on the arterial as they go by, God bless you. God has this. God has this. God has us. God breaks through the blindness and keeps us in sight of God's love, whether we're together in the pews or together in the spirit of God's amazing grace. That is the gift of our baptisms. That is our ultimate identity as beloved children of God. And nothing can ever take that away from us. In the unity of Christ, amen.